The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 6, text number 19, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on October 27th, 2013, in Telšiai, Lithuania.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
Yata dipo nivatasto.
Yata dipo nivatasto.
Nengate sopamasmrita.
Nengate sopamasmrita.
Yogino yata chittasya.
Yogino yata chittasya.
Yunjato yogamatmanaha.
Yunjato yogamatmanaha.
Yata dipo nivatasto. Nengate sopamasmrita.
Nengate sopamasmrita.
Yogino yata chittasya.
Yogino yata chittasya.
Yunjato yogamatmanaha.
Yunjato yogamatmanaha.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so the transcendentalist, whose mind is controlled, remains always steady in his meditation on the transcendent self. Purport. A truly Krishna-conscious person, always absorbed in transcendence, in constant undisturbed meditation on his worshipable Lord, is as steady as a lamp in a windless place. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganitam Vatam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Shri Vishakandvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pachaline Nyavishesha Shunyavadi Vashchajade Shuttarade. This very nice verse describes the mind of the transcendentalist. He is not agitated by anything in this material world. Because he is always simply fixed in Krishna consciousness. What does this imply? It implies that this world is a very disturbing place. We're being disturbed with all kinds of things. Birth is very disturbing. You may say, well, how is birth disturbing? Just watch a baby being born and see how disturbed he is coming out of the womb. Completely disturbed state of mind, total disturbance. So there's birth, which is disturbing, and then there's sickness, which is disturbing, and there's old age, which is disturbing, and there's death that's disturbing. There's miseries, all kinds of miseries in the mind and body which are disturbing. There's miseries caused by other living beings which are very disturbing. Miseries caused by natural influences like the cold winter or drought or all kind of hurricanes, tornadoes, I mean terrorist attacks, you see. There's so many disturbances here. It's one disturbance after another disturbance after another disturbance after another disturbance. That's the material world. Let's face the facts. This place is full of disturbance. So how can you possibly have peace of mind in a place where there's disturbance everywhere? It's a very simple thing. You simply have to absorb your mind in Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any water? So, how do we do that then? That's the question. How do we absorb our minds in Krishna? That is the art of bhakti yoga. How to always be fixed in Krishna consciousness. There is a system. Just like in anything that you can do, like building a house, for example. There's a whole system how to do that. The architect draws up the plans, the contractors execute the plans. It's a systematic system, program for building a house. They use the same formula over and over. I see so many houses here, you see. The same formula is used. House after house after house after house. So in the same way, there's a systematic way of building a house. There's a systematic way of fixing your mind on the transcendental plane beyond this material existence. The secret is Shabda Brahman. Transcendental sound vibration. Krishna or God is absolute. Therefore, everything relating with Krishna is also absolute. So that whether it is the person Krishna or the name Krishna, there is no difference. Therefore, if you associate with the name of Krishna, you're directly associating with Krishna. We were studying just the other day in Prabhupada's books. And Prabhupada revealed a very, very amazing piece of information. See, we first have to understand what is Krishna, you see. Krishna means God. The source of everything. The one who possesses complete, total power. From each and every one of his limbs, he can see, maintain, and manifest millions and billions of universes, both spiritual and mundane. That is Krishna. Even with his little finger, he can manifest unlimited universes just from his little finger. Nobody has such power. Only Krishna has such power. So that same person is fully manifest in the form of his name also. So you may say, but I'm so caught up in material desires. How is it possible just to be absorbed in Krishna, 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 24 hours a day? I have to worry about making money, I have to worry about maintaining my family or taking care of my husband, I have going to school, I got so many distractions, How could I possibly always be fixed in Krishna consciousness? It seems impossible. How could I do it? But don't underestimate the power of the name Krishna. That very sound vibration can manifest billions and billions of earth planets within a second. So, the power is there. If you will take shelter of the name of Krishna, you will find unlimited power to release you from all the anxieties in material existence. Unlimited power. But you have to have faith in the name. But we have faith in so many things. Just like when you get on an elevator, don't you have faith the cable's not going to snap? Because you see so many people are going up and down the elevator. You see that it's certified by the city government. So you put your faith in the elevator. Sometimes I get stuck in the elevator. In your Copenhagen, I was stuck in the elevator one time. In the hospital. Not very long. Also in India, remember that time we got stuck between the floors? Yeah. So it's still, we weren't killed. We were stuck for a few minutes. So, the holy name, you will not get stuck even. The holy name will take you all the way to the abode of Krishna. Now you may say, how can I believe there's such a place as the abode of Krishna? I think this is just some hype. Some fable made up for childish people who are not very scientifically minded. You may say, what is the proof there is a place called Krishna Loka? Well, you could say, what's the proof there's a place called the United States of America? How many of you have been there besides Mataji, myself, and Sankirtan? You've been to the United States of America? You've been? Yes. So you know there's such a place because you've been there. But the people who haven't been there, how do they know? How can they be sure that we're not lying to them? That we're saying, yes, I've been there, and we made up this story about this place, the United States of America. How will they be sure that we're not lying to them about the place, the United States of America? Well, there's one way they can become absolutely sure. And that is if we take them there. Come on, get on the airplane, we're going to America. We'll go see the Radha Govinda deities in New York. We'll see Rukmini Dwarkadish in Los Angeles. We'll see the preaching center in Austin. In this way, you see. We'll see where the Commonwealth Pier in Boston, where Prabhupada first set foot on American soil. You see. We can go to 26 Second Avenue where Prabhupada began the movement. We can go to Tompkins Square Park and see where the first public kirtans were being held.
You see.
So in this way, you see, if we take you there, then you'll know that it exists. So in the same way, you can be absolutely convinced there is a place called Krishna Loka. You simply have to go there, that's all. Instead of getting on American Airlines to go to America, as we described this morning in Kaunas, you have to get on Hare Krishna Airlines and fly to Krishna Loka.
You see?
There are flights taking off every day, Hare Krishna Airlines. Flight number 108. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Fly this Maha Mantra. You can fly higher than a bird. You see? You can fly higher than an airplane. You can go beyond the so-called spaceships of NASA and the Russian, whatever they call it, cosmonauts. You see. With this Hare Krishna mantra, you can actually pass through the coverings of the universe. And you can enter into that sublime spiritual sky where there's no birth, no death, no old age. There's no senior citizens. Everybody's young and beautiful and good looking. No old wrinkled people walking around like me, deaf, can't hear anything. So that spiritual sky is waiting for us, you see. We just have to chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
And the doors to Krishna Loka will open up for us. We'll be able to meet Krishna face to face. We can meet Radharani, Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, Sudama, Madhu Mangal, Sridham. We can meet all the great personalities. Purnamasi, you see, Chandavali. We can meet all the famous personalities we read about in the books. We can meet them. They're all there engaged in their internal pastimes. And we were formerly with them. Do you know that? We were actually in the spiritual world in those pastimes, formerly. But we were foolishly, as there's a saying in English, curiosity killed the cat. We were thinking, what if I could be the Supreme? I'd really like to. What would it be like if I was the Supreme? I'd like to be the Supreme. So Krishna says, "Okay, I'll let you try it. Try to see if you can do it. And here's a place where you can think that you're the Supreme." Lithuania. You see. So we realize what fools we are here in Lithuania, you see. We try to be the controllers. And actually we're just controlled, that's all, by our senses. So let us take shelter of Krishna. And get out of this nasty place. As soon as possible. The beauty of it is you can stay here doing your ordinary duties as a householder, a student, or whatever your position is. You can stay here. At the same time, you can be living in the spiritual world connected with Krishna simultaneously. So, I can ask now if there's any questions.
You said in the lecture that how one can know, we can take the, them to America, then they can know.
Yes.
But someone has to be willing to go there. Otherwise you cannot take them.
Yeah, that's right. They have to have enough faith to get on the airplane and go with us.
Yeah.
They have to be willing to get on the airplane and take the ride. Yeah.
And they have to have the will.
That's what I said, willing.
Yeah.
They have to be willing to get on the airplane. So if you want to go to Krishna Loka, you have to desire it. If you're thinking, you know, this material world is a pretty great place. I don't want to go to the spiritual world. I just want to stay here. Then you can do that. But you will be subjected to the miseries of material existence. You cannot avoid them. You must get old. You must get sick. And you must die. Again and again and again, birth after birth after birth after birth after birth. You cannot avoid them. But if you get out of this world, you go back to Krishna Loka, you will avoid it completely. I mean, why suffer unnecessarily? What are we, some kind of masochistic nuts who want to punish ourselves? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to stay in here in this rotten place. When you can go back to home, back to Godhead. Yes.
Gurudev, I was just wondering, because I really want to get a taste for chanting japa, and I seem to struggle so much with my 16 rounds every day. So I was wondering, when one has finished all his daily sadhana, reading and chanting, 1 hour reading and 16 rounds, whether one should read more or chant extra rounds, what would be more beneficial?
Aš tikrai noriu įgyti skonį šventam vardui ir yra tokios mano pareigos kaip vienuolio.
There's no hard and fast rule.
Kartoti 16 ratų ir vieną valandą skaityti ir klausimas, kai visą tai...
What inspires you more? When you've done all your duties, you have this extra time.
I have to translate.
Okay.
Ką tada pasiūlymą daryti? Ar daugiau rato, daugiau džiapos kartuoti, ar daugiau skaityti? Ką geriau daryti? Atsakymas nėra griežtų taisyklių.
So what inspires you more?
Kas tave daugiau įkvėpia?
If you're inspired to chant more, chant more.
Jeigu turi įkvėpimą daugiau kartuoti.
If you're inspired to read more, read more. If you're inspired to go out and distribute books door to door, do that. Your duty is to always see that your desire for Krishna consciousness is becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. That's your duty. So for one devotee, it's extra japa. Another devotee, it's sitting with a harmonium singing bhajans. Another devotee is taking some books and hitting the streets. Another devotee is going deeper into the philosophy. Another devotee is learning how to do first-class deity worship. There's no hard and fast rule. Another devotee is going to the college campus and distributing leaflets to invite the students to come to a special program on the campus. Yes.
Wouldn't it be easier they just take the instructions of the temple authority and act accordingly?
Temple authority may, yes, they should follow the temple authority's program, but the temple authority may not. It may leave it up to them also.
That is another thing. But there are so many services, Prabhupada says, like a sandwich, wouldn't they?
Temple authority may leave it up to them also.
That's another thing.
So they have to. I'm giving advice in that case. One should always follow the program of the temple authority, not just act independently. But many of these devotees here aren't working under temple. Most of these people don't work under temple authorities. They're householders. So this, my answer is only for him and for everyone.
Norisi dirbti ir ten visokių prigalvojo protas, kai tik tai nepasinardyti į šventą vardą. Tai aišku, yra geriau, kad geriau sukartuoti ir paskui užsimti ten tą veiklą ir ten paskyvo svodė. Tai čia individualus yra kartuojimas, tai prasme, o kai yra kolektyviai, pavyzdžiui, penki žmonės ir vien dėl to, kad greičiau kažką tai atlikti, pavyzdžiui, vieną valandą, leiskim, gaminam pietus kartu, ne, ir ten kažkas klausosi, išima bagdam, bet ten nėra koncentracijos, kadangi pietus gaminam. Ten vienas kitas, nu, ar geriau sakant, šeimą baktam valandą skirti ir paskui visi galim nu, po to jau geriau, nu, tai būtų didesnis pasinardinimas iš šeimą baktam.
Aš tokį negalėsiu išversi,
trumpesnį.
Tai aš trumpinsiu, pasakysiu, ar tinkai, ar atliekant tarnystę yra palanku klausyti šeimą baktam. Gerai? Tinka to mes
sakome. Ne, tinka visiškai. Ne. Kad ar geriau šeimą baktam atklausyti ir paskui pietus daryti, ar pietus daryti kartu ir šeimą baktam vien skaito, ten visi daro, užsiema veiklą, bet nėra dėmesingumo šeimą baktam. Aš tą noriu.
What is better to listen šeimą baktam class and then go to cook or we can also during the cooking of lunch we can also listen some recording or some.
The best thing, if possible, is to sit in the class and hear. That's the best thing, if possible. Now, it may not always be possible, especially when, like this last weekend, we had this big festival. It may not be possible. Some devotees may have to cook during the class, depending on the situation. For that, you follow the Temple Authority's instructions.
Bet kartais yra tai neįmanoma, pavyzdžiui, yra festivalis ir atsidavusiai turi gaminti to pat metu, kai vyksta paskaita.
But ideally, everyone should sit in the class and hear. That's the best thing. But it's not always practical. Even when Prabhupada was here, devotees, some devotees would be in the kitchen cooking while he was giving the lecture.
Kai Prabhupada duodavo paskaitą, kai kurie atsidavusiai turėdavo būti virtuvėje ir gaminti.
Because someone has to cook during that time, so the devotees get their breakfast on time. Anything else? What about our local devotees here in, I like to say, Tulsi? Tulsi. There should be first preference to the Tulsi devotees here. Any questions they have? These are all our local devotees from Kaunas that they have. They ask me questions every day, but you all, we're here for you all especially, not for, this is your program. So the Tulsi devotees should be given preference for questions. No questions from the Tulsi devotees? All right, any other? Here's a question? Okay.
Ir šiandien turėjo 16108 žmonas, aš norėjau paklausti, ar tai susiję kaip nors su 16 ratų ir kiekvienam ratė 108 karoliai. Krishna had 16,108 wives. I want to ask if it is related with 16 rounds and 108 beats in one round.
So the question is there any relationship between Krishna's 16,108 queens and are 16 times around 108 beads. There's obviously some relationship. Those numbers are very auspicious. And it's not by accident. 108, there's also 108 Upanishads as well. So 108 is a very auspicious number. So it's auspicious for japa, it's also auspicious for having wives too. If you can have many wives, then to have 108 wives is very auspicious. But we can't even maintain one wife nicely and keep her happy all the time. So there's no question of us having, we having 108 wives, but Krishna can do. He can have 16,108 wives. And if you want to please 16,108 wives, how will you do it? You can only do it if you can manifest 16,108 of yourself and 16,108 different palaces. Then you can have 16,108 wives. It's okay.
Tai mano patysi tada, jeigu save galite padauginti 16,108 ir tiek pat rūmų dar galite pastatyti.
Because of your brahmachari, you shouldn't think of having anyone.
Aišku, jeigu esate vienuolis, jums nereikia nei vienos žmonos.
But for the householders, they can think, I cannot have 16,108 wives unless I can manifest 16,108 expansions of myself and 16,108 different palaces.
Taigi, o šeimos žmogus turėtų galvoti, kol aš nesugebu kaip Krishna tiek savo ekspansiją sukurti rūmų pastatyti, man užteks vienos žmonos.
So the significance of 16,108 is Krishna is God. Only God could pull that off, you see.
Tik tai Dievas gali tai pavežti.
We cannot pull that off. Even one wife, we can't keep her happy, but to speak of 16,108 wives.
Net viena žmona pasirūpinti yra sunku.
Any other questions? From a local devotees against, or they have preference? Any Telsey questions in the Telsey bhaktas. All right.
Thank you very much for a nice class, Gurudev. I was wondering, it's very nice when Gurudev says that we should get deeper and deeper into the holy name and actually taste it. And I always think before I chant, start chanting, yes, that is what I will do. But you know, then it's like so many things come up anyway. And when I finish my 16 rounds, I realize, well, it was not today either. So
that means you're not chanting early in the morning. You're chanting throughout the day. When do you chant your rounds?
In the morning.
What time?
From 5:15 until 7:15.
Ah. But as a temple president, you have so many managerial concerns at that time, don't you? Not so much?
I try not to.
Well, that's not bad. You have to just, if you're having difficulty, you say, this verse is nice. You can recite this verse. Take a break between the mantras and you know, between rounds and recite this verse.
Translation.
Klausimas yra, aš kiekvieną rytą galvoju, kad kartosiu dabar šitus ratus pasinersiu, kiek įmanoma giliau.
You see, the English-speaking people have this idea that everybody in the world speaks English. There's actually a joke in this connection. If somebody speaks two languages, what are they called?
Jeigu kažkas kalba dvi kalbas, kaip jis vadinasi?
Don't you answer, you already know. What? Somebody speaks two languages, what are they called?
Kažkas žino dvi kalbas, kaip jis vadinasi?
Multilingual.
Huh?
Multilingual.
Huh? Somebody speaks two languages, what are they called?
Bilingual.
Bilingvistas.
So if someone speaks three languages, what would they be called then?
Jeigu kažkas trim kalbom kalba?
Trilingual. If someone speaks one language, what are they called? No, don't say anything. I told you, don't. You already know these things. You keep your mouth shut. Somebody speaks one language, they're called American. Yeah, this is like this American ego. We think the whole world speaks English, you know. But actually it is a universal language because I speak in English all over the world. There's always some translator there to translate. I speak in English all over the world. Wherever I go, there's always a translator to translate into the local language. This is by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Told Prabhupada, you present these teachings in English.
Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Srila Prabhupada nurodė šitus mokslus pristatyti anglų kalba.
Because it is the most prominent language in the world, that's a fact.
Nes labiausiai paplitusi kalba.
For whatever reason. Not that it's a better language.
Tai nešia, kad ne geresnė.
The better language is Sanskrit.
Geresnė yra Sanskrit.
English is a hodgepodge language.
O anglų kalba nėra tokia.
It's a monster. It really is a monster. There's no rules. Just like we spell P-U-T, put. and but. But. It should be but and put, or, you know, or but and put, but it's put and but. There's no rule. It's just completely it's a wild language. You have to learn each word separately. There's no rules. It's a very difficult language to learn, actually. If you're for a foreigner, I can understand it's a very difficult language to learn. In Sanskrit, every the rules of pronunciation are precisely followed. I studied Spanish, and the rules are very, very straightforward. The rules of pronunciation are very straightforward in Spanish. I don't know about your Lithuanian language. Is it straightforward? Yeah. English is completely crazy. Frankenstein language. They take a little, a word from here, a word from here, a word from there, and mix it all together and call it English. But it's the most prominent language in the world today, so we use it for Krishna's service. So any other questions?
I have to translate question and answer.
All right.
Taigi, klausimas buvo, galvoju, kad jau šiandien sukartuosiu savo džiapą, geriausiai kaip galiu pasinersiu. Bet kai sukartuoju, matau, kad šiandien nėra ta diena. Ir kiekvieną dieną tai būna. Tai kaip iš to išeiti? Ir atsakymas buvo, bet tu gal nenksti ryte kartuoji. Ir reikėtų stengtis, kaip manoma, anksčiau ryte kartuoji.
Anything else?
Kaip turėtų Bachtas elgtis su kitų konfesijų atstovais? Jeigu elgtis ir su jais bendrauti, jeigu jie kviečia prisijungti prie jų tikėjimą, sakysim, bet propaguoja Dievą, nusakysim, arba Krishna, arba Krishna, sakysim, kitų vardų, kaip jie turėtų elgtis.
How devotees should relate with other religions, people who are inviting us to come?
Yes. If other people are inviting you to go to their church service, you could make a deal with them. Well, I'll come to your service if you'll come to mine. If you will come and chant Hare Krishna with us at our program, then I'll also come to your service. See if they take you up on it. That's one thing you can do. I'll be happy if you'll come to my service first. Then I'll come to your service after you come to my service. So you have weekly programs here every week? How often?
Every 2 weeks.
All right. So if they invite you to their service, say, well, we have a program here, a Hare Krishna program every 2 weeks. And I'll be happy to come to your church or your temple or whatever. But we ask you to, first you come here and you try chanting Hare Krishna with us. And see how you like it. And then I can come to your church also after them. That's what I would do. And you can tell them, I'll come to your church and tell everybody... I'll be happy to come to your church also and explain to you your study group about Krishna
consciousness.
I've gone to many Christian churches. They invited me to come and lecture to them about Krishna consciousness in the Christian church. So you can say, I'd be happy to come to your church and tell and explain about Krishna to you all. Would you like me to come? Tell everybody, I can come and speak to your congregation about Krishna.
O jeigu yra Krishnas propaguotojas, bet nepriklauso iskonai.
If it is Krishna devotees, but not from Iskon. Some from Iskon, some other sampradaya, but they are devotees of Krishna.
Here in town?
No, in other cities.
Oh, in other cities? if somebody outside of ISKCON wants me to come, I just tell them I appreciate the invitation, but I'm really busy. Because we've seen that Prabhupada has given us, Prabhupada is the one who introduced Krishna conscious movement all over the world. And Srila Prabhupada has given the most, is fully given in the most comprehensible, powerful way what is the correct understanding of how to practice Krishna consciousness. So, the best place to get training in Krishna consciousness is within Prabhupada's movement. That's the thing. We respect other people who are practicing Krishna consciousness. But they are not getting the benefit of being surrendered to Prabhupada. Same benefit that we're getting. Prabhupada is the most powerful, the most realized, the most potent acharya in the whole Kali Yuga. So some people want to separately from ISKCON practice Krishna consciousness. So we respect them, we love them, that they appreciate that they're trying to chant Hare Krishna, that's nice. But if they want to get the full benefit of Krishna Bhakti, they should come to Prabhupada's movement. Where they get under the shelter of Prabhupada's lotus feet, that's where one can make very rapid advancement in Krishna consciousness. So if other devotees outside of ISKCON want us to come to non-ISKCON Krishna conscious programs, we don't get angry. We're very polite. We just say, well, thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation, but I'm not able to come at this time because we're very busy serving Prabhupada's mission. We wish you well on your path. Be their well-wishing friend, but if they want to associate, they can come and associate at our program. They're welcome to come. If they come to learn, not to try to recruit and take people away from our group. Because Prabhupada is the most empowered Vaishnava. Others are not. Don't have his potency. They don't have his potency. So we want to stick with Prabhupada's instructions. Follow strictly what Prabhupada taught us. If they want to practice in a different way than what Prabhupada taught, all right, let them do that. But we are not going to deviate from what Prabhupada taught us. I had that opportunity. I know in ISKCON, sometimes devotees, I was in Mayapur, and all the devotees were going to hear some Gaudiya Math Sannyasi. Everybody was taking boats across the Ganges to go to some mat in Navadvip to hear from some Gaudiya Math Sannyasi. And I was thinking, I had no interest. I mean, all the devotees were going, but I would not go. Because I have Prabhupada. Prabhupada's with me at every minute. I don't need to go somewhere else to get enlivened in Krishna consciousness. Because I have Prabhupada's association at every minute. And he's the most powerful acharya in all the three worlds.
Well, first thing, I do not normally know who are they first. They can be Mayavadi group chanting Krishna.
Yeah. Whoever is, anyone who's wants to practice Krishna consciousness outside of ISKCON, doesn't want to follow Prabhupada, we respect them. There are many devotees doing that now. I've seen them in different parts of the world. So we respect them. We're friendly with them. We see them as brothers in one sense because we're all chanting. At the same time, we will stick with Prabhupada. That's all.
Ir mes jas visus turime gerbti ir laikyti kaip savo bronis.
Yeah.
Yes, in connection with this, and please forgive me if it's controversial, but it's going very much on in Denmark. There's a lot of devotees speaking about editing Prabhupada's book and before and after, and it's creating a little bit of friction in the Danish art. How to relate to that?
Dabar pas mus Danijai labai daug žmonių.
Yeah, there's some... what it is the Prabhupada originally... dictated onto a dictating machine, and he also typed manuscripts for his original writing of the books. And he engaged his disciples in editing.
They need to translate.
Thank you.
Can you repeat because I forgot?
Prabhupada engaged his early the disciples in taking his dictation tapes, typing them out, editing them. He engaged his disciples in editing what he his manuscripts. The first typist who was typing out the dictation tapes was not a devotee even. There was a boy named Neil. And Neil was a college student. And part of his course was he had to do voluntary service for a non-profit organization. They didn't have a typist at 26 Second Avenue. But Neil came and said, I'm here to volunteer in my service as part of my college course. What can I do? They said, well, what can you do? He said, well, I can type. He said, oh, you're a typist? Great. So they engaged a karmi in typing the manuscripts, typing out the dictation tape. So sometimes he wouldn't know what Prabhupada was talking about, but he would guess. And these mistakes of Neil's made it in the original edition of the Gita. Just like you've heard of the Pitris. Pitri Loka? Yeah. So, when Neil heard the Pitri Loka, he thought, oh, the planet of the trees. So instead of the planet of the Pitris, he typed in the planet of the trees, like some planet of trees. There is no such thing as the planet of the trees, but it's in the original edition of the Gita that ISKCON published. Now in Texas, we have what's called cow slaughter. And what you do to get the cows for cow slaughter is called cattle raising. In the original edition of the Gita, instead of saying go raksha, literally means cow protection. But the editors put in cattle raising instead of cow protection.
What does it mean, cattle raising?
Cattle raising means for slaughter. So there are many, many mistakes. Prabhupada didn't make any mistakes, but the devotees, the people who were typing the manuscripts and doing the editing, they were young boys. They'd just been taking LSD a few months before. They were brand new devotees. They'd just come off of LSD. And they made a lot of mistakes in Prabhupada's books in the original edition. So, whenever Prabhupada would see a mistake, he would want to have it corrected. He noticed sometimes mistakes, he wanted it corrected. So, the GBC authorized, there's one devotee named Jayadeva Swami, who Prabhupada trusted his editorial abilities. Prabhupada said he trusted his editorial abilities. As he went through the original manuscripts and the Gita edition, which was there, he saw so many mistakes. So he asked the GBC if he can actually go back and correct the mistakes the earlier editors had made and bring the book back into line with what Prabhupada had originally given. And it was debated back and forth, but the GBC decided yes, finally. It was a GBC decision that yes, the mistakes of the early editors should be corrected and should be put back in the way that Prabhupada meant it for it to be. Why leave in the planet of the trees? There is no such thing. It becomes a mockery, the planet of the trees. So in this way, the books have not been changed. The changes that were made have been undone to put it back in the pure form. That's what's acting the situation. But devotees who don't want to surrender to the authorities that Prabhupada gave us make these arguments that therefore we can act independently now in the GBC. In other words, it's simply politics. They don't want to surrender the authorities that Prabhupada gave us, so they make all these excuses why don't I have to surrender the authorities. Such talk is divisive. It's cutting. They're trying to cut ISKCON to pieces of what they're trying to do by their envy. So we don't take their arguments very seriously. They're ill motivated. Just like Dhritarashtra was ill motivated, they're ill motivated, those devotees. They're not trying to serve the mission, they're trying to disturb the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Break the unity of ISKCON, what is that word? What is the name of that labor union in Poland that took over, got the communists out, that labor union?
Solidarity.
What was it?
Solidarity?
Solidarity.
Huh?
Solidarity.
Yeah, they're trying to break the solidarity of ISKCON. Yeah. We have to have solidarity in our movement, you see. We have to be together as a family under the GBC that Prabhupada gave us. It's a very important thing. And speaking of solidarity, I have a little announcement I'd like to make. We need to work together to make our movement a success here in Lithuania. So the temple actually needs support, financial support. So we have what's called a monthly donor program. And we're asking everyone to consider whether you think you'd like to join the monthly donor program or not. If you can just give whatever is on a monthly basis, give a set donation that you can give every month and make a commitment, that will be real solidarity of our movement here in Lithuania. The Christians have become very powerful because they put their money together. They all donate their money to the church. They're very dedicated to supporting their churches, and their churches have become very strong because of that. So if you all can help out with our monthly donor program, this is our temple president from Kaunas, Sankirtan Prabhu. You can speak to him. If anybody would like to join or would like to consider joining our monthly donor program, raise your hand. Well, no one's interested.
Oh,
Huh?
There is one there.
Oh, very good. Oh, thank you very much. Shai, come forward, please.
He's the host.
Please come forward. Yes. Shai, thank you very much. Give him a round of applause. Shai. This is an example of solidarity, you see. So, everyone can follow his example. You talk with Sankirtan and arrange what you like to give. That's very good. So everybody can help. We can pull our resources together in this way. We can actually bring a spiritual revolution in this country. So we'll stop here and we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai!
Jai!
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Achila Bhai.